So here's what I'm going to do with these recordings. I'm going to upload them to my Wistia account, which of course is private. Okay. And then what's good for you, I can create like a password protected page on my site and have them up there for you to access, or just send them to you directly.
Anything that's secure.
Yeah, it's secure. Yeah, I mean, it's private password protected.
Whichever works for you and is not like too painful.
No, yeah. I mean, I think the password protected is fine because you're the only one that's going to have access to the password besides me. So if it gets out, it's all on you. But it won't be.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So let's, you know, we've got about an hour and a half, I figure, here, ish, you know, maybe hour 45 at the max. But we got a lot of ground to cover here just in the first call. So I kind of want to give you, I know you kind of like plans, details, you know, kind of directions. So here we go. You're healed. Make money.
Oh man, I'm ready.
No, we're done. Pay me the other half. We're good. No, I'm just kidding. So if I keep looking over this way, it's because I've got another screen over here and I've got your materials pulled up on it too.
Did you see the madness? Did you see the madness I got up to with those sheets?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, you're good though. Actually, I mean, it's not really madness. I can just see where you're up here a lot right now.
I am.
You know,
I'm always up here a lot.
Yeah, you're up there a lot anyway. Which now that I know your gene keys and your human design, it makes a whole lot of sense. You know what's going on. It also helps me to understand what your next evolution actually is. And so, I want to do this first and foremost before we dive into anything. I kind of want to show you this gene keys so you can get an idea. Let me show you my screen.
Word. So I don't get to see you. No, I get to see you. It's on
you
the
get
site.
To see me. Don't. Yeah, she's all possessive already. She's like, I got to see you.
Is that me, the investigated martyr?
Yes, that's the 1-3 design, by the way. So here's your actual deal. But I got this so you could read it also on your own. Yep. This is why I pulled it. I was going to send you the link, and I was like, nah, let me wait until I go over this first with you. So Gene Keys is a marriage of the I Ching, the 64, qualities. And then also it's a cross of, astrology.
Yeah.
And then also human design. So it's a mix of all three. But it's put together so extremely well. And as we go through this piece here, you'll kind of see. So I'm the exact opposite of the spectrum. So here's how we know you're a 1-3. Is this second number here in your life's work means you're line one, which I'll explain in a minute. Mm-hmm. And then the next number we come over to is your radiance, which is a 3. Okay. So your consciousness is a 1. And which is up here is creator. No wonder you like to create, by the way. And when you're not creating, you feel like you're stifled and you're not really living and express, right? So and over here is the 3, which is line 3 for in this particular case, and radiance is interaction. So you're unconscious, like you really want to interact, and we'll talk more about that. But that's how come I know that your human design or your aspect here is 1-3. Okay. Now, here's what this means is I'll walk you through. There are 4 prime gifts that you have in life, and they represent this node, and you can see they're green, right? So we're just following a path. So we've got 1, 2, 3, and 4. These are your 4 prime gifts. And so what we want to understand about this is that these two right here are what you're looking to manifest in the world, okay? So you're looking to manifest in the world as a creator, and you're looking to manifest ultimately your presence, and then also line one here, which is self and empowerment, and you're looking to manifest majesty, okay? Mm-hmm. So majesty. These two prime gifts are more of your internal reward for mastering these two here. Okay.
I see.
Okay. So these are the four prime gifts. Now this is your there's three paths that are found inside of this. Right now, all I want us focused on are these four here. Okay.
Okay.
But then what we do is I'll show you, I'll just take you a little bit deeper. These are now, this is known as your Venus sequence. And this is how you manifest these things in the world through your relationships.
How crazy is that we're in a retrograde right now?
You know? I know. It totally, right? So everybody that is around me right now is going through a lot of what you're going through. So, you know, just FYI, like all my best friends, all my close friends that are all spiritual and shit, like everything's a fucking mess, right? So, you know, you're not alone. You know, your ego might want to think that you are, and, you know, it's just, you know, secludes you, but it's so not. Like everybody is going through shit. So, like right here, your attraction is the people that you attract in your life. So this is line three for you, which is promiscuity and playfulness.
What does that mean even?
Promiscuity?
Does that mean I'm not virtuous?
I mean, you could go that way, but here's what I like to do. Let's look up promiscuity.
I'm sure it has a very powerful meaning. Just kidding. I hope it is not what it means.
Well, let go of, while you're in this coaching, you will let go of all expectations. So we will see what it means.
I mean, I know what it means, but is it?
No, I know, but I want to see here. And also, I also have this, by the way, as you can see. This is.
I saw you're studying it. I think I saw the Himalayan lamp and that image. I might have even liked that post.
Right.
So are you sure you have enough tabs open up there, buddy?
No, I need more. The fact of state or being promiscuous. So what this also starts to lean into when we look at this is you've got opposites here, right? So there's a range. And for me, there are benefits in all of our shadows, right? So regardless, like when you say, I hope I don't, you know, to me, like there's a part of you that is promiscuous. There's a part of all of us that is, right? Whether we own it or not was what creates more of the buoyancy in our lives, if we can own that. But like the thing here is when you're in your shadow, and by the way, I'll go through what these little things mean here. So when it comes to attraction and people in your life, not just intimate relationships, but all relationships, when you're in shadow, you create division. Okay. When you're in your gift, which is your potential, now you start to provide guidance, which makes a lot of sense. And then when you are in your essence, like you're, that's ultimately where you're looking to have your frequency at, you're in virtue, right? So each one of these represent a particular area of your life, like in your life's work here, being a creator. When you're not, you're in superficiality, which I can totally see by all of your stuff, right? When you're in your... Yep. When you're in your gift, your potential is self-assurance, which is probably why you're kind of like feeling like you are, because normally, like there's been a time you've been there, right? But now you've fallen back down into your shadow, which is the superficiality. But then once you move through your potential and your gift, your essence, your city is presence, right?
Wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. It goes really deep. You know, there's a couple of, I know you like to read, so there's some books that I'll suggest. Each one of these has a book assigned to it. Like, you don't have to get this big book, but each one has a book, and they're kind of small, that walks you through and, of course, you know, supports you in going through that process.
I actually saw it. I saw it on Amazon. Because okay, I did. Yeah. Bean Keys is actually on my wish list.
Okay, that's cool.
I just didn't know if I was going to do it this year or go through it this year. It's on my list. And then when I opened it up, it showed me what you just said.
There's one for each one of these. There's the Venus sequence and then the Pearl sequence. And, you know, so anyway, just so you have an idea. So I'm a line six, by the way, which means I'm the exact opposite. So if you think of the lines as a tree, right? Ones are the roots, right? So, which explains a lot of what you're going through right now, because you don't feel very grounded. And so it's something that's very it's very discontent for you. And the more you try to appear to fix it, the more ungrounded you feel, because you keep floating around in the shit, right? So.
Oh my God, Tony, can you just give me a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one just landed. So.
Now, see, I'm a lion six, which means I thrive in floating the fuck around, right? I'm out on the branches. Like, you know, me and my neighbor, who she's the one that turned me onto this.
Oh, Katerina.
Katerina, yeah. She thrives, and so do I. So she's a 6'3". I'm a 6'2".
Okay.
Okay. So like with you, your unconscious sees, or your unconscious also relates to her unconscious, because she's a 3 also here. But she's the opposite of you, which is a 6. See, the thing is with 6s, none of us are better than the other, by the way. We all have our own unique abilities. But like with us 6s, the reason why I can see so much of your stuff is because I look from the rooftop at everything. So it's not uncommon for me to go cocoon, get on my rooftop, and just watch what everybody does. So I pick up on patterns really quickly, patterns in language, pattern in behavior, pattern in numbers. It's almost a bit of a curse. I can kind of, it's not a curse. I mean, it's like a good thing, but sometimes you just can't turn it off because it's just a part of my makeup. So, you know, kind of understanding this, like there's a part of me that can observe what you're going through from a very objective space. And, you know, with empathy and compassion, you know, kind of support you in reframing, which is partly what this whole process is going to be about. Like you think it's going to be just marketing, and that's actually going to be very little part of it, because the more of this part that we go through here, like I told you, like for the first week or two, this is all we're going to go through, is just really kind of diving deep. Because here's the thing, your business is the car, you are the driver. If you want to drive, if you want to get from New York to LA and you don't get there, is it the car's fault or your fault? Right. It's your responsibility, right? Like even if the car breaks down, you say, well, my fault, the car broke down. But whose responsibility is to make sure the car runs, right? So what we're doing here today is before we start working on the car, we got to work on the driver, right? So I'll give you a good example, you know, like you've been to Walmart probably.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like when you get in your car to want to go to Walmart, you know, do you get in your head about it? Do you think like, oh my God, what if I can't get there? Well, you know, like you don't weird out about it. You know, it's like, but what happens? Like you go to Walmart, you go like a specific route that you go all the time. And then what happens is when you hit a yellow light, what's a yellow light mean? It means slow down, right?
Yeah.
Some people think it means speed up. It doesn't mean slow down. So it means be mindful, be cautious, right, of what's going on. When you get to a red light, you don't run it, right? Because what happens if you do, you end up getting sideswiped and probably getting hit or hitting somebody, right? And then what happens, you know, you don't, at the red light, you don't freak out and scream and, you know, weird out like, nothing's working, nothing's happening. Like, you don't do that. And then the same thing is, let's just say the route you normally go, let's say there's an accident, you can't get there. Do you freak out? No, you just take a back road or a side road, you figure out and you get there, right? Our business and our life is a lot of the same way, right? It's not the car's fault if it doesn't get us to the destination, right? It's our responsibility. So rather than it being a fault, it's a responsibility. So one of the things that I'm going to really support you with is taking responsibility of your emotions, okay? So you're at the effect of a lot of your emotions right now. And most of the thoughts that you have are just simply not a helpful thought.
Yeah.
And if that's all you did was manage a lot of these unhelpful thoughts and just go, well, that's not really helpful. Toss that, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be supporting you in what's called inside out thinking rather than outside in thinking. Okay. So a lot of people live by outside in thinking. And Sadhguru, as you know, right? He said something really, really powerful I've never forgot. He's like, the world isn't happening to you. It's happening within you. What he was really saying is that guess what? No matter what goes on, you get to assign meaning from within you. So I will continue to support you in that theory, in that concept, and begin to implement that deeply into your everyday life. Because what happens then is you're far less at the effect of what goes on around you, because you get to assign meaning and how it works inside you, right? And it's an exercise.
That was all like maybe 89,000% of my I think probably like the last decade, to be quite honest.
It's possible. Yeah. And listen, not all of there's none of us that are completely It's the word I want to use. You know, it's discipline. It takes discipline to consider, you know, it's like, Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, he talks about like, you know, if you've got 70,000 thoughts a day, which is about right, you got about 70,000 thoughts that are going through your head every day. And if 65,000 of them are the same thoughts that you had yesterday as you're having today, then you're literally living in the past.
Yeah.
Right. So what do? You know, you got to think greater than you feel. This is exactly what Sadhguru was saying. He's like, you've got to, you know, realize the world isn't happening to you. It's happening within you, which means that, you know, what conversation are you having with yourself around this? And so your body will, you know, right now and what it's been doing, your body will revolt. Right.
Yeah.
And what happens is, and, you know, and Allie and I, we have these conversations. There's a lot of things that, you know, that, just in some of our pre-conversation and chat leading up to here, like, you know, you'd write in all capital letters, I need this to happen, and, you know, and I'm, you know, or I'm so excited, it's got to work, you know, and it's like, calm the fuck down.
Dang.
Right? Yeah, it's just like.
I did do that.
Yeah, no, you did. And so.
You were sitting and judging me when I was doing that. Thanks, Tony.
Now
I hear the truth.
You typed it. No, you did. You typed it out. It's kind of like, you know, so the thing is that, you know, what we want to do is temper. And I think I did write that. And I even wrote a post that I, because you triggered that post that I wrote. And Thanks. If you noticed, let's take a look at that real quick. I've got all this going on here. There we go. I'm taking everything we're talking about right now, and then I'm just dialing it down into what I know that you are wanting to focus on, which is the marketing piece of it. I'm going to show you how a lot of people would have taken that piece of content and spun it, and what I did differently, and what I'm going to support you in doing. Because yeah, we're going to do some marketing stuff, and we're going to show you how to turn that into monies. But I want to teach you how to fish, not give you a fish. Right?
I think that's the thing. Yeah. That's what I need help with. Oh, look, you can see me liking stuff there. Oh, there it is. Oh, no, that was another one.
No. All these damn pretty pictures. Okay. So here it is. So I took what I said to you in chat, and I was like, man, this is probably a pretty good lesson. So the tempering of my emotions, this is where most people go wrong. The tempering of your emotions in the face of obstacles, overwhelm, or even opportunity is critical in whether or not you're affected or informed by them, right? Mm-hmm. Notice how I just own it in a much more tempered fashion. The tempering of my emotions in the face of obstacles, overwhelm, or even opportunity has been critical in whether I was affected or informed by them. Reframes are constant yet gentle as I've integrated this idea and embodied it into my everyday being. Being gentle with my expectations, moving my mind and body in ways that break the old cycle of being, this has made way for new possibilities to bloom both within myself and in my world. I'm not always great at it, humility, right? But I make it a point to be as patient with my problems and my possibilities as I can be, because therein lies the gift of wisdom on the other side. Just saying, right? Now, you know, got a little bit of love on this one. Definitely there's some things I think I could done differently. It's also, I posted it at about 10 a.m. in the morning, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, but here's the thing. Tons of people don't interact with my stuff, but they read it.
Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really caught up in all these vanity metrics shit, you know, like it's definitely can be it can definitely be a bit of a sign of what's going on. But I get people all the time, like, this guy, Jesse Elder. I did a post. You know who he is?
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah. I don't know if I know him, but I'd actually gone to his house when I was in Austin.
Okay. Yeah. So you know who he is. Yeah. So I did a post last year, and he, you know, I was saying, hey, anybody got a personal development program? It's $1,000. So he's in my mastermind with my mentor. And so he saw that post. He's never liked any of my stuff. He's never, you know, made any comments or anything, but he reached out to me and ended up doing an email campaign for him. Right, to sell his stuff. So you know, I don't really get caught up in too much of that. But notice the humility. And then notice...
I'm not very humble when it comes to all of this stuff.
Well, I would say, what are you then, do you think?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes my posts are more about, like... I think there's a battle, Tony, because I just feel like the can I say the truth according to me right now? Is that okay? I know it's a story. It's a story, but and I'll try not to preface as many times when I'm trying. I feel like I have given content away where it may have seemed giving or whatever you want to call it, or filled with a little bit of humility and whatnot, but I've never had anyone say like, hey, I want to work with this girl. Like, it's usually people just consuming free content.
Yeah. And that's a story, you know. Listen, this is the other thing we'll talk about once we get into the marketing piece of it, is money flows to offers of perceived value, period. The whole law of attraction and abundance and all that stuff, bunch of bullshit in my opinion. Raise your frequency, you'll make more money. It's not true. I know a lot of spiritual people that are broke.
Exactly.
If the law of attraction is so true, then why are there so many bad people that make a lot of money? Then it's not really a law. Like, if I go and drop you out of a 3-story building, you're going to fall. We know that. That's a law, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, on the opposite end of that, you know, if I say, you know, say you know, raise your frequency for the next 3 days, you're going to make more money. It's probably not going to happen. The high likelihood that's not going to happen. Right. So it's not really a law. To me, what I've discovered is money flows to offers of perceived value. And the one thing is, as we get into the marketing stuff later on, you'll realize like there's a mindset. And right now your mindset is plagued by, what's the word I want to use? Entitlement. I think that's a word you used.
Yeah, I've written it out. Like,
yeah, and we're gonna root that out, by the way, because the entitlement does you no good. It starts to, it's the seed of apathy, right? Judgment, and of course, seeing everybody as an asshole that doesn't, you know, get it. It's like a, it's a reason why there's so many starving artists in the world, you know? And I've studied this very deeply and went really deep into this past year and this year, really understanding like what makes a creative person successful. And there's a difference between creating, right, and producing. When you create, you do so without any curiosity or care about a demand in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Because you're just creating. It's expressive, right? It's the feminine, you know? And believe me, I'm a creator. Have been all my life. I'm a musician. You know, I was classically trained violinist for eight and a half years when I was a kid. Played guitar now for almost 30 years, piano, singer, had, you know, was in a band, all that stuff, right? The difference is with creation versus producing is doing so specifically with the idea of meeting a demand in the marketplace. And does that mean that you can't be creative? Not at all. It means that you've got to think more creatively, right? You've got to create with an intention behind it, which means taking your faculties. And I think this is partly where, you know, with your poetry, I can relate a lot with you because, you know, I've done poetry all my life and there's a lot of stuff that I write and that I create. It's very poetic. It's very, you know, it's a lot of pontificating. You know, but I know those posts when I do them that all I'm doing is maybe just creating some social equity.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing I struggle with. And now I'm just getting into my head for a hot second, is that when I started sharing my work, it was shared from a poet perspective, writer perspective. I'm on Elephant Journal. I'm a columnist there. I can actually, just so you know, I should start writing there as well, which I can.
For sure.
I can write about content.
Yeah, I'll point you in the direction of what to do there because that's a great platform.
Yeah, and by the way, I've had posts on EJ that have gone viral, like over 200. 1,000 views, like crazy amount of shares and stuff like that. Like,
send those to me, by the way.
Yeah, okay, I will. I'll send you my page so you can check it out. But that was just when I had a full-time job. I didn't give two shits about anything. You know, I didn't even have a public page. Had I had a public page at that point, not that I'm regretting it, I'm 100% not regretting it, but I didn't even know that I was going to do this, like, and leave advertising and do my own shit.
Yeah.
But I could have easily, even just having a spot to take them on to, I would have easily had, like, out of say 300,000 views, I would have easily got like 60,000-70,000 people just jamming.
That's great. Page. Yeah, it's amazing.
But I didn't have that.
Well, it's all right. Listen, you know, we're not living in the past. We're in the present, and we're going to create new possibilities in the future, right? Sure.
Yeah.
So one of the things about line one, by the way, and if you if we go back over here, people with a 1-3 profile in their design have an inward focus. They're driven to investigate and look at the results of their experience in an inward fashion. Often they may subconsciously ask the question, how did that affect me? Right? So the first line of the profile, the one, is motivated to find out the details surrounding any potential interactions. The details provide a foundation and stability that the first line personality resides on. Like right now, you haven't had that. Right? So you felt, you know, off kilter. An example might be going on vacation. The first line will often want to know where they are staying, what activities are around the local area, how are they going to get to and from the airport, and more. The piece that I wanted to, so the thing is, the third line
I've already gone past that second paragraph. Sorry. Yeah.
The third line of the profile is driven to learn through experience or experimentation. This is what you're going through right now, by the way. Okay.
But this is who I am too. Like, I need to put my hand into that electric socket and experience the effect of that, but not watch someone else go through it. It has to be my way of doing things.
Exactly. It is through the experience of things that work well and things that don't work so well that the third line becomes wise about the best way to do things. Once the wisdom occurs in the third line, we'll look to repeat the positive results and minimize or eliminate the negative or unproductive experiences. Right?
Oh my God, did you see that last line?
Do it this way. Were you even listening?
I did. Sir, like, trusting, it's really, like, I'm a fast reader and people hate me for it.
It's all good. We should all be grateful for the work that the 1-3s have done to make our lives better. Yeah. It's what you're going through right now, or have been going through. So rather than judging it, right, which is what has been your past behavior, right now, look at it as your blessing. Because until you integrate that, until you really do begin to live that, you'll continue to live in judgment, apathy, you know, fear, you know, all those sort of things. But we're going to, you know, shift that, obviously, from moving on here on out. So I kind of just, based on my dissection and what I'm seeing and what I'm going through, like, I wanted you to understand this. So you now have a greater ability to zoom out. Right now, all the stuff that you've been going through for however long it is, like, you've been gaining a lot of wisdom, but it's only if you stop, drop, and reflect. Like, my life is a shit show, or has been, I should say, in the past. But it's because of that, and it's because I think greater than I feel, which is why we're also going to talk about your health, by the way, and like what you're doing to take care of your body. So your body, as we shift into this, your body is this vessel. And way too many people give their feelings way too much credentials.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have been dictated by the feelings. And so when you think about this, like, how we work as a human being, we have thoughts. Those thoughts then trigger feelings. Those feelings trigger behavior. The feeling reinforces the thought. This is why I talk about you have to think greater than you feel. Right? So you have thoughts that trigger feelings, which then, of course, trigger your behaviors, which then reinforces those thoughts. So it's up to us to break that cycle of being ourselves, as Joe Dispenza would say, right? And that's partly what we're going to be doing as we go through this process, even when it comes up to the marketing piece of it. Like, I'm going way deeper with you than I will go with most people, because most people, I can tell them, the reason why you're having so many challenges, you're thinking like an expert rather than a marketer. Most people, I'm not a marketer. And I'm like, bullshit, we all are, right?
Yeah.
Because marketing is nothing more than the making of promises and keeping them. Now think about this for a second. What do you do with your life? We start by making promises to ourselves and seeing if we keep them.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we're incongruent. That's where we start to feel guilt. And then we start to shame. And then it's just a nasty downward spiral, right? Mm-hmm. So think about, you know, my life is nothing more than the making of promises to myself in keeping them. Now, how much do you trust me?
Well, sorry.
How much do you trust me?
I trust you. Like, wait, that's not a nice question to ask.
Yeah, it is.
I have massive trust issues.
Okay, but how much do you trust me?
I trust you more than I trust myself. How about that?
Okay, right, we can now start there. Okay, good. So the reason I'm talking about this process, and you're going to want to listen back because I'm going through some dense stuff here right now, right?
I already made a mental note of it. As I was writing, I was like,
yeah,
you know, I have to listen to this while I'm sleeping tonight, most likely. Yeah.
I'll send you the audio too.
That'd be great. Okay.
Because I get both. I get the video and the audio. So the thing is if life is like marketing, it's the making of promises and keeping them, right? In marketing, I will tell you, who else better to make more offers to than the people that you've already kept your promises with, right? So people that have already bought from you and you've kept your promises, they're much easier to sell more stuff to, right?
Yeah.
So like with you and I, it's 15,000, right? We keep that promise. You generate a whole bunch more monies. It's a lot easier for me to say, hey, let's do that again, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, and you don't have any more resistance around it because you're like, hey, that worked. Let's keep doing it. So when we talk about the feelings and your thoughts, the feelings, the behaviors, how you're keeping your vessel vitalized, hydrated, moving, has a lot to do with how well you can manage your emotions. What happens is your brain has to work in overdrive. Your mind has to work in overdrive in order to manage the chaos that's going on in the body, where we're not hydrating it enough or moving it enough or giving it what it needs in order to be somewhat more settled and grounded. Make sense?
So much. I literally just want to keep you on and like sit in a corner and cry and not even acknowledge half of this shit. Like, no, I, sorry.
But you got to, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I'm acknowledging it, but I really think it has been very difficult for me to cry, like very, very difficult.
Okay, so we're going to shut that down because at some point you're going to, right?
I already did. I don't know if you noticed when I told you to hold up for that second.
Yeah. I mean, just listen, you're holding a lot of beach balls under the water.
Yes, sir.
It's impossible to do, and it's not natural either. Eventually, you got to let go. You got to stop. At least while we're doing this work, that's what I'm going to support you in doing. Now, remember I told you I had a little bit of a bonus? It's actually a really big bonus.
Tell me. Am I skydiving for you?
No, you're not skydiving. Although we probably will do that at some point. But so there was, let's see, back in 2008, maybe, it was about the time I started TonyTGarden.com. Just before that, probably 2006, 2007, I was in a really shit place, like real bad.
Okay.
I came out of a divorce. I had cheated the last year, like can't tell you how many women I fucked, you know, because of that. And I just was in such a dark place coming out of it. Cause it's nothing I thought I would ever do, but I'm not going to give you all the long story, but I think she cheated. And then of course I gave myself permission rather than actually be a man and confront what I think happened. I went passive aggressive and I just cheated and I've just fucked a whole lot of women for that last year. She never found out, but I'm sure she probably knows. And, after that, I punished myself for a good 5 years. Destroyed my credit, destroyed my body. There was a time when I like literally had my electric turned off for 30 days. I was eating a Pop-Tart a day because that was what I could afford, because I could walk down to the corner store and buy a pack of Pop-Tarts for 39 cents. I mean, I was in bad, bad shape. And of course, I was, you know, considering suicide too, of course. And a friend of mine introduced me to a woman that completely saved my life and is the whole reason I'm probably even sitting here with you right now, is because doing the work with her, she turned me on to a bunch of other coaches. And that's where I started to help coaches to do more of the work, because that work saved my life in so many ways, my work with her. You ever heard of Debbie Ford, by the way?
No.
Okay, she's got a book called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. You don't need to read it, but you might at some point. But that's where I learned about shadow work. And so Jana Fleming is, she's been a mentor of mine and also a very, very close friend also. And I've done a lot of her marketing, and I've actually, I got so good at it, I started, you know, she needed somebody to actually support her in coaching. And so the student became the teacher eventually, to a point. And don't get me wrong, she's still the fucking master, like, by all means. Like, she's been personally, she's personally trained by Deepak. You know, she's obviously, she goes, you know, has been to many of his retreats because she's part of his deal, you know. Yeah. But so I was talking to her the other day, and if you trust me, she actually offered to do a 2-hour free session with you. And
oh, wow.
She'll actually do this, record it for you and I, and of course the three of us are the only ones that get it, and because I would want to be able to listen to it, but I don't want to be on it with you. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to, I mean, she's going to take you in a space and a place even way deeper than I'm going to want to do. Let me put it that way. Okay. I think I started really thinking through this because I know, like, your trust and all these sort of things, but she's so gentle and she's so mindful, but she's also a very strong woman. And I think it would be a phenomenal experience for you, not just as a student, but as you going to being a teacher. I want you to see how a strong woman, like, let me just tell you, she's got it all. Like, right now, I also know all of her shit too, right? But she just, I've seen her life transform even so much, even over the last couple of years. She met her husband on a plane, next to him on a flight. Met him, whole lot of stuff happened there, but then they're married. She's got a place in Santa Fe, New Mexico, about 11-acre ranch, quote unquote. Her husband's a doctor, by the way, highly successful. She does private retreats. Matter of fact, she just did her first 10-day retreat, I think it was, and it's a $12,000 event. And so I'm just kind of giving you context here of how powerful her work is and how much her life demonstrates what it is that you're calling in. So for two reasons, I thought it was really, really powerful. Number one, she offered to do it for fucking free, which I thought was amazing. And there's no upsells. She's not going to try and sell you anything later or none of that kind of shit. Like, it's literally, when I told her the work that I was going to be doing with you, she just dropped down into her heart and she was like, please let me support you. If she'll do it, let me do 2 hours with her, you know, to kind of crack that door open, like, in a deeper sense. And I was like, let me think about it. Yes. Right.
Oh, it's definitely a yes. And can I just say something really quick? Like,
please.
For the last year and a half, I've been looking for this level of, like, support, accountability, someone giving a fuck, because I give a lot of shit about even the 3 or 4 people that have worked with me. Mm-hmm. I give a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how not to.
Yeah.
So, like, this is great. Like, I mean, I know you're showing me the stuff I sent you. Did you tell her that this is what she gave me? She gave me
I haven't sent her anything. I will, with your permission. I want to talk with you first. I want to make sure you weren't going to give me any shit. right.
It's not that I would give you shit. I would just be like, I hope that the person understands me. I feel like I'm never, like, truly understood.
Well, it's because you don't understand. You're not being open and understanding of yourself. Yeah. It's never about the other person. And this is the stuff I will continue to support you with and provide you support with, because it's never about the other person. It's about you. It's about how you see you, right? And that's what we're going to be shifting, because if you look at, you know, Dr. Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics, we can never outperform our own self-image.
Yeah.
Right? So what we're doing here in this first, what I knew was going to be extremely powerful for you to get greater results, you know, was to shift and support you in seeing yourself in a greater self-image. Because I know there's a part of you that all these things that you want to do, but the reality of it is you can't see yourself doing it because you've got something else that's taking up your greater aim. Like, you know what I mean? You know, love him or hate him. I mean, he's one of my heroes, but Dr. Jordan Peterson, clinical psychologist, you know, he talks about, you know, he works with a lot of men. A lot of men are attracted to his work because I think men are starving for this kind of information. But it's like, when you have a greater aim in life, right, you see problems as on your way, not in your way.
Yeah, and I'm not doing that right now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not loving the problems. I'm like so pissed off at the problems.
You're pissed off at the problems, exactly. So, you know, the thing is that because of that, we've got these stories that are going on, right? And like you said, they're themes, beliefs, and stories. And the more time that you spend believing this, what did we talk about earlier? Thoughts, feelings, behaviors, reinforces, right? So what we've got to do is create a larger narrative, a more clear and concise narrative. Now, what the work with Jana will do, and she wants to, you know, she wants to schedule with this with you ASAP, as long as you're open, is that it's, she will go deep with you. You know, she will go into those places that, which I'm going to go with you as well, because I'm going to listen to it, and you and I are going to, you know, we're going to get on the same page, because I already have an idea and know a lot of what's probably going on. But I don't want to be so presumptuous that it makes you think that, oh, well, you know, I'm stupid. No, it's not that at all. I just, part of my, that's why I think I wanted to start out with the human design, is because my human design, like what comes natural for me, is to see people shit, patterns, you know, problems, possibilities, all that kind of stuff. I can't turn it off. So when I get around people, if you give me an hour, I'm going to have a lot of stuff figured out about them, right? And it's only because that's my natural personality type of the gene key. You have your gifts, and we'll get into more of those later on. You know, which makes you special or unique in that way, right? So once you do begin to integrate some of this stuff that we're going to be working on just in the first 2 weeks, the gift of line one is you're like the roots. You're grounded, and people will come to you for that. And they won't come to you for that, and then you just become a martyr, right? Oh, people, they want to be around me. Let me give, you know, like, you won't do that. You'll do so with mindfulness. You'll do so with predictability. You'll do so with wisdom. You'll do so with boundaries. Does that make sense?
So much.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to support you in moving more into. I had the fortunate opportunity to meet a line one, very evolved line one, right? And when you get around, I get goosebumps even just thinking about it. His name's Cy. It's Katarina's, one of her really, really close brother friends. And I remember, because I met him at ceremony. So I do plant medicine, by the way. Ayahuasca, you familiar?
Yes, I want to do that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going on a three, actually, I'm going on a next month. I'm doing three nights in Las Vegas. Wait,
you're like leading?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh,
I've only done about six or seven ceremonies. But what I am going to, but Cy, the gentleman I'm telling you about, and Katarina and I, we're going to go and he's in Las Vegas. And so he's got a circle out there, that we're going to sit and do for three nights. The thing is that when I met Cy the first time, I met him at ceremony. Right. And I remember the dude is like crazy flexible. He's like a yogi. Right. So like he does shit that women probably go, you know, and, but the thing was, is I remember saying, because Katarina had told me a lot about him and I, you know, afterwards I was like, hey man, it's good to meet you. He's like, yeah, I've heard a lot about you. Good to meet you as well. I was like, man, I'm like, you have certainly mastered yoga. And he stopped me real quick. He was like, no. I just have to practice. The humility of that conversation, of that statement. No. I haven't mastered anything. I just have a practice. Right? That right there alone reminded me and aligned me to realize, like, we're never really getting there. The person who is truly from a compassionate, loving space, who is truly committed to their noble aim, never looks up one day and goes, yeah, I'm badass. I'm a master, right? That person, actually, like him, just continues to practice and continues to invest themselves in that practice. His practice happens to be an embodiment known as yoga. And that word embodiment is something that you and I are going to be integrating deeply into your work, into your world, and into your marketing. Because the moment that we do that, you'll begin to start to see things shift. Because see, here's the reason I can't, if I didn't do this work with you, and I just did some posts for you, and I threw them up and got you business, there would be a very big incongruence there. There's stuff that wouldn't work, right? There's just, you know, you'd say something shitty to somebody or get short with them, or you would give once you got them on board, and then you wouldn't charge enough. Then you'd be pissed off. You'd be resentful, right? All this sound familiar?
Oh, it sounds fabulous. What, you have like a CCTV in India?
Fabulous. I just said it sounds familiar, smart ass.
Like, yeah, there's like a fucking CCTV here in this room. So thanks.
Yeah. But that's the point, right?
I don't like bypassing in general, because like I've definitely hit a wall that's not helping me spiritually. And I'm struggling spiritually, actually. I know this is kind of a rebirth type of scenario I'm in. I can already sense it. But the resistance, the lack of grace, the lack of kindness toward myself and others is not going to help me do the work I was brought here to do.
That's right.
And the reason why I left corporate was because I knew there were specific types of people that only I could help, mm-hmm. and not everybody could help. I know the one guy who's working with me right now who I'm undercharging, the work mm-hmm. he's doing, dude, he's going to pretty much help communities become self-sustaining and in their water supply. Mm. And they're going to do green water sustainability. I don't know, that's not the right word, but sustain was a word, right? He could never work with anybody else. Yeah. 100%. He just says that the one person I met this year that I joined BNI, which is, I'm sure you've heard of BNI.
Of course.
But can we please spend like 2 minutes on that before we wrap up today? I have three things I want to just tactically talk to you about that I need to get out of my system.
Yeah. We'll do that.
If you want to. Yeah. So
not yet.
He said that. Okay. He just said the same. He just said, like, trust me, like my investment in BNI is just worth meeting you.
Yeah.
But again, like how you said, I'm not doing the right, I'm not charging him well. I'm helping him source and things. I'm getting involved in places I shouldn't be. I've already set up the boundaries, by the way, this past week.
Good.
I've already done that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's that part of the shadow that you've been living is the martyr, right? Like, dude, this guy's doing amazing things, doing big things. I'm undercharging. But he's doing amazing things, but you know, and I'm helping him, right? Like that's the martyr, you know, speaking. And the fact that you're aware of that is phenomenal, right?
I just don't know how to get past it. That's the place I've struggled the most.
Yeah, I know. But guess what? Everything we're talking about right now is in tandem of doing that, right? So, you know, one of my questions is, you know, like we definitely talked about your health, right?
Yeah, horrible.
So like right now, like for an example, how much water, you don't have to answer this question because it's not polite to ask a lady her weight, but you should be drinking at least 50% of your body weight in ounces of water a day.
So
how much water do you drink a day?
Not enough. Well, I drink maybe up close to like maybe 500. There's like this little copper pot that I drink every morning. Like that's two glasses, mm-hmm. like about this big.
Okay.
Then throughout the day, I'm not hydrating as well. And I am in a hot climate. I know all this stuff. So I should be.
You know it all, but you ain't fucking doing it.
Shit.
Yeah. You can't get around that stuff. Yeah. It's like hydration alone will help you with depression, anxiety, all kinds of bullshit, right? Okay. Like the world is dehydrated, period. Most everybody is dehydrated. And then, of course, they're taking, you know, if you're like, if you're just drinking, you know, coffee throughout the day or any diuretics or anything like that, you know, you're just squishing more water out. And your system's working like fucking crazy, you know, to extract water from like fucking mashed potatoes or something crazy. You know what I mean? So, and then the carbs and the sugar, like, you know, any of that stuff, like right now, your body is, you know, it's trying to do its best.
It is. And I'm not helping it. I'm not helping it because of my mental state.
Well, but it's your mental state that's affected because of, yes, there's thoughts up here that we're going to shift around. But the reason why you're having those thoughts and it kicks in the feelings, and those feelings, a lot of times, if you don't like them, you're going to mask them with sugar, caffeine, you know, whatever your comfort food might be, which then, of course, is going to impact what? It's going to impact your insulin release. It's going to, I mean, I can get into the science of all of that stuff. I don't need to. I'm hypoglycemic, so I know how to fuck my body up real good. And I know all of the stuff that happens. Like when I cut out sugar, so I went for like 6 months back in December of this past year, I wanted to commit suicide again. I was sitting here thinking, how can I do it? What's the fastest way to do it?
And, you know,
I had no idea. I didn't know what was going on. It just all of a sudden came up on me. And then for like 5 months, I was like crying every day. Like, you know, I didn't want to do work. I was having anxiety and panic attacks. Like I'd sit down trying to have a cup of coffee in the morning. It would trigger a panic attack. Come to find out, my liver was constipated, you could say. And I was estrogen dominant. I wasn't, the liver is the most active organ in our body with over 500 functions. And there's like four different hormones that are responsible for men that it wasn't producing. So I was a fucking wreck and I had no idea why. And then I finally got my blood work done. Western doctors were like, oh, you're fine. Just go, you know, do the Mediterranean diet and follow that. You'll be good. And I'm like, oh, you're fucking crazy. Like, I want to kill myself right now. What are you talking about? And this is not me. I'm a pretty positive person. Come to find out, one of my holistic friends, who's in Ojai, just about 2.5 hours north of me, she looked at him and she was like, yeah, it's real clear what's going on. It's your liver. It's fucked up. She's like, it's constipated. So we need to clear it. We need to do a cleanse. And, you know, and you need to start doing keto and you need to cut out all the fucking sugar that I bet you're eating right now to kind of deal with all your problems. And I'm like, yep. So I did all of that, cleaned up. And I also did ayahuasca because she's also, she invited me up to a circle. It was the last time I did ayahuasca. And I did that and then made all the lifestyle changes and food changes. And it's, I've been way better since. So the tie-in of our bodies as to what our minds are able to do as well, it's very, very linked. So probably one of the things I'm going to support you in, and this is going to be over time, by the way, can't expect to do all of these things at one time, you know, is you got to watch out for the sugar. It's demon. Sugars are demons and your carbs. How many carbs you're doing a day. I think in the Indian diet, I don't quite sure know, but I think the carbs are pretty plentiful.
And right now I have an Indian cook. Okay. And the last cook was Indian too, meaning like they're cooking Indian food for me. But this chick, if I teach her how to do like soups and stuff, she knows how to do like tomato soup and things like that. And start having her incorporate that into the food cycle. I can do that.
Yeah, so, you just got to be careful with the carbohydrates. You got to start hydrating more.
Yeah.
You know, those things are going to help with your mental and your physical state. Yeah. So if you want these changes, you know, you've got to start to look at like, you know, here's something Katarina shared with me. And I haven't been able to forget it since. And it's so powerful. She says, every decision you make is a declaration of what you think you deserve. Every decision you make is a declaration of what you think you deserve. Every time I want to go fucking shove some chocolate in my mouth, I got to think about that.
So is a declaration of what you think you deserve.
Yep. That's relationships, clients, your body. It's okay. Be excited about these things. If imagine this. Artemis Limpert said this one time. She's like, you know what? Like right now you're having like, oh God, oh my fucking God, you know, just you're freaking out. But imagine if every time you discovered one of these and mastered it, it added another $50,000 a year to your income.
I'd be down for it. I actually am down for this.
You'd be excited every time one of these things come up. You'd be like, really? Fuck yeah, let's get this out of the way, you know? That's how you want to start looking at those things. Because literally that's how it will translate to some degree.
Yeah.
Is financially, spiritually, physically, intimately, all of those pieces, right?
Totally.
So there's the reason I brought this up, by the way, I kind of moved through this. Again,
were you proud of me for doing this?
Yeah, no, I thought it was fantastic. I think you owned quite a bit. The reason I brought this up is because I think you said there's one piece that you didn't put in here that you want to talk about. So I want to give you some space right now to do that.
Yes. So one of the things that has been the story and the this narrative that I had when I was back in the US too, was, so I worked in the ad business. I came to the United States for university. I went to Syracuse and I went to the communication school, which is one of the best in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I did a master's program there. I graduated, moved to New York, got my first job there. Everything is visa based,
mm-hmm.
right? So I have, I spent those years in advertising. Again, I wasn't doing this work. If I was doing this work with you, let's say I met you 10 years ago, which is obviously would not have been the right time anyway.
Sure.
And I wasn't ready for the work, right? Because I wasn't doing that. I was still like young, doing my shit, having fun in New York, like drinking and just being merry.
Yeah.
There's this thing, like I had to leave home in a way. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like for me, the United States will always be home. I've just never belonged.
Yeah.
So the story, the narrative, and I decided to leave, right? Because at a certain point I quit the last job I was in.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much called me up and said, like, fuck you don't deserve to be here within like 2 months or 3 months. I don't even remember, which I was okay with because mm-hmm. I was super depressed. This Irish guy I liked and didn't live in like proper Irish, right? Like not mm-hmm. New York City Irish.
Right.
So he didn't fancy me back. And I just had like this crazy breakdown, mm-hmm. Which I talked about even in my TEDx, but mm-hmm. I didn't mention him or anything.
Okay.
The reason why, sorry, I'm giving you too much information. No, I don't think it's too much. You should know this.
mm-hmm.
So anyway, like, I had this massive breakdown and I called my dad and I cried and I said, I can't do this with my life anymore. This is not what I was born to do.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much that was the trigger for me to leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
I did stay because you're allowed to stay on 6 months till you quit or something like that. There's an end date on my visa thing. So I don't break any rules. I never break rules of those kind. I mm-hmm. just cannot. And so what we did as a thing was, I was like, you know, Dad, like in the future, I might want to come back to the United States. So my brother is a citizen. He was born in Tanzania. Mm-hmm. So when he applied for his green card through his employer, it was much quicker because there are not that many Tanzanians applying.
Right.
So I've always hated the fact that I was born here. Mm-hmm. I was like, probably I'm more deserving of being, no, deserving is not the right word. I'm like, you're not doing anything with your time in that country. You're not changing it. You're not shifting it. What are you doing sitting there having babies and stuff? Yes, it sounds judgy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not saying like I deserve it more, but I'm like, can't things be easier? Like, can things not be easier? Because I'm definitely not supposed to be struggling here in India. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even use the term struggling in India for the first part of last year when I came here. Mm-hmm. It was very temporary. The goal was to just register my company here and mm-hmm. travel wherever I wanted to. But then there was no income match. There was none of this crazy shit that will happen now.
Yeah.
happened, right? So I couldn't justify that leap.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like constantly producing and creating and whatever. And the bites were really marginal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And even the people who would sign up, I could see they had money problems. I knew so much about them before knowing about taking them on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And so the thing that is sitting right now in front of me is, Dad was like, you know, sweetheart, you should still get your U.S. visitor visa done. And some part of me is just like, you know? And so actually he said, but what if you want to just come home for like a few months? Mm-hmm. And you should. He's like, you shouldn't be here for such long term periods till, he's right. He said, mm-hmm. get it out of the way. Yeah. And I was like, fine. So next week, Wednesday, I have my U.S. visa interview.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday, I'm going to Bombay. Tuesday, mm-hmm. I have to do fingerprinting, I have to go to the consulate, and then Wednesday is a visa interview.
Cool.
So that's something I've not put on here. It's definitely something I need to nail and make sure they know that I'm not going back to stay in the United States. I mean,
yeah,
they should be fine because I've left the country already and I've not broken any rules and shit.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of unpaid debt. So if they ask me about that, I'm not sure if like visitor visa and this thing is like related. I'm just going to tell them, yeah, dude, I'm going to pay it off anyway because I am going to migrate eventually to the United States, right?
Right.
So there's a part of me that's just like, I'm too advanced for this land in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
The people I deal with here are not up to snuff.
Right.
And so somewhere I've kind of always been in this mismatch where I'm not with people that I need to be around that will help me grow. They're not helping me grow. In fact, they're helping me become more bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the people I met at BNI, I had like a really rough 6 months. I didn't even want to be there in some way, shape or form. But then I'd already like, was like, I'd pay, not paid for it, that wasn't the thing. I got a little distracted and I got a little involved with it. But over the past month or so, like, I'm just like, no, dude, I'm staying away from this. These are not my people. Yeah. I don't want to be in a room with a plumber. Mm. I don't. It sounds really fucked up, but I don't. I don't need referrals like that in my line of business. I can generate visibility online.
Right.
So there's a part of me where like, he's like, what? You know, every decision you make is a declaration of what you think you deserve. Mm. I don't think I was even thinking what the fuck I deserve. I should have just walked away, you know?
Yeah.
Be done with it.
Right, right. Yeah. No, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah. So, and fortunately, like my my year gets done at the end of this year. Like I'm not renewing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm sitting with BNI at least is like I've like pushed it out. Like I'll still have people from there call me, and I've not had a good experience with them because I really looked fucked up. Like I looked like I was wrong, not even wrong. Like the thing, there's a thing about India, I can't explain it to you. Mm-hmm. Literally, one of my friends posted this. She's from New York. She's of Indian origin. She's Muslim. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted this. Like in India, Indians should stop saying shit like, well, this is how it happens in India.
Yeah.
And they tell you that here, ma'am, here it's like this. And they call you ma'am here. And I hate it. I'm like, don't call me ma'am.
Yeah.
Half the parts of the world I go in, they call me miss or sweetheart or something.
Right.
And I feel dramatically aged. The energy doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
This house as well with my dad, I told him before he came here, I was like, Dad, this is a beautiful house. It's huge, but your neighbors are fucked up. This is not the environment where you should be living. Like, you have to raise your standard. And so now he's like, okay, so let's sell this. And I'm like, so now I have to help him with that.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'll help my dad because my brother is not going to be here anytime soon. So we're starting to look at like brokers and things like that to value this property out. But the next 2-3 months, I have to help my dad with this too. And they don't move like I do. They cannot move like I do. Right. I have to ask them permission to sell this shit.
Right. This
fucking, like aluminum glass.
Yeah.
And it's not like my dad is okay.
Mm-hmm.
My mom.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is like a dude. Like my mom is like the embodiment of feminine.
Mm.
So kind, so gracious.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always lived under the shadow of them not having what they gave me. Right. Mm. They've not really witnessed or gotten used to abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas me and my brother have always had it thanks to them. So again, I want to just make sure I acknowledge that I have what I have in my life because of them. I have a house here. I don't have to worry about so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've told my dad that eventually by December 31st or early January, I'm moving out of this place. I need to live in a place that's comfortable lifestyle-wise. Even if I'm staying in India for 3 months at a time and renting the space out, I don't care. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I got to get out of this zone. Like this place is too heavy for me.
Yeah.
Energetically. And I know it. I've been saying it for the full year and I say it's loud. I told them like, you should have sold this property when, because in India construction just happens. They don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
There's like literally like that much of a gap between this house, Tony,
mm-hmm.
and the flats behind us.
Mm-hmm.
I can literally hear people think sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got here, I could not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm not being an asshole and entitled. This part, I know I'm not being entitled because I know I'm giving it its due time.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there's a frustration in me, which is like nothing is moving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even own my own space.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't And I'm not in the country where I've spent the majority of my adult years, where I can easily have a conversation. Here, these guys will fuck you up. They'll make you feel like you're the problem. And they don't even realize they're doing it because that's how they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
The work I want to do in India, this is why the US strategy and India strategy has to be so clean
mm-hmm.
that like India doesn't drain me.
Yeah.
India is draining me right now. Physically, it's really hot here. It's really polluted. This afternoon, I went out just to run errands for my dad, get this some of these papers sorted out for next week's interview, things like that. But I try not to go out as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I go out once a week. And now BNI too, like, I'm sending in a sub on Friday, most likely.
Yeah.
And I'm scaling back in that as well. And some part, and the only reason I want to stay in the system in November is because they have a big conference in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's global. So I'll get to meet more people. That's why I'm most likely flying down. I'm flying down for that event.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2-day event for members only.
Right.
Which I'm sure no one else in India is even thinking of doing. But I want to go and I also want to take a bit of a break if possible.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that helping you understand like why I feel so displaced? And
yeah, I mean,
And I want to get rid of some of the people on my Facebook that are, like, the students, they're allowed to follow me wherever the fuck they want to follow me. I don't care. I don't judge them, and I don't accept their invitations. I just let them stay in the follow list.
Yeah.
But there are definitely people I've already started pulling out because they were BNI contacts here, and I don't give a shit. Like, I genuinely don't.
So, you're carrying a lot of outside-in thinking around all that.
Okay.
So, again, none of that is really happening to you.
Yeah.
As much as you want to believe it that it is, it's not.
Okay.
And I'm not discounting what you're saying that you're feeling. I believe you are. And I'm not discounting that, you know, chances are that it really is like that there. What's that?
Oh, my God. You can't communicate with people here. There's no sense of
communication. I just said I'm not discounting that. I believe that, right? At the same time, these are all motivations at this moment to move forward, but you can't create in a healthy space from living in that energy, living in that frequency, right?
Yeah.
Like right now, you went earlier from like, this hopeful, and then you went into that story, and like right now, your energy is just like, like
basically, it's a fucking cloud.
Well, guess what? It's a choice. This is where you get to start to do the work, right?
Okay.
Think greater than you feel. Write that down.
I've already written it down 2 times.
Good. Third time's a charm. Do it again. Think greater than you feel. So 2 things I want to do here before we begin to wrap up here shortly. You give a lot to whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
Good news is you give a lot to whatever you do. Bad news is you give a lot to whatever you do.
Yeah.
Right? You're a woman. You're a strong woman. Right? Except for when you call me dude, which, by the way, you probably don't feel crazy about when men call you man. I don't really like being called dude either, by the way. But I don't think you're really calling me dude, but you're just saying dude as a.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's more of like a filler word.
Yeah, it's totally a filler word.
It's almost like saying fuck.
Yeah. And, you know, what's funny, though, is I noticed because I have an ex-girlfriend that I lived with for 2 years that would call me dude all the time, and I fucking hated it.
Ooh,
yeah.
That I would not do that to a guy. I was
so just the fact that you're even saying it could easily make me go, bitch is calling me dude. Like, would you stop calling me dude? Like, seriously? And then I could let it get to you. But you're not calling me dude. Even if you were, I would have a choice to say, hey, honey, listen, I'm not a dude. I'm Tony. You know, whatever play word you want to come up with, but I'm not dude. But see, I noticed, here's something you want to start to integrate. Be informed, not affected.
You know, that first time we spoke a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
it's either information. What did you say? You said it's, I have to remember how you said it, but you said that yeah. they're just giving you data.
Yeah, it's just data. You choose whether you're infected or informed. You know, Viktor Frankl.
Love him.
Auschwitz.
Love him.
Live through it. What do you think he practiced? Inside out thinking all day, every day. His situation way worse than yours or mine.
100,000%. 100,000%.
He embodied what I'm trying to support you in beginning to integrate in your life right now. Because the more that you and I begin to live at this outside in thinking, and this is how Indian people are, and this is India, and this is the space, and this and the other, like that's the reality you continue to construct. And it's more and those more of those thoughts that you have, the more your body is triggered, and the more you go into emotion, and the more you go into either entitlement or victimhood or any of those other lower frequency feelings. And I'm not saying don't discount them, just don't give them so much fucking control. Right? Viktor Frankl embodied the idea of inside out thinking. And millions upon millions of people's lives are better because of it. Do you think going through Auschwitz and going through what he did, that he was like, you know, if I just do this, I'm going to make millions of dollars. I'm going to write 60 books. 30 of them are going to be on psychology. The other 30 are going to be on feel good, personal development. I'm going to be on Amazon and I'm just going to be fucking amazing. And my life's going to be great. And I'm going to make a bunch of money. No, it wasn't about that at all. Right? It's where I want to shift your thinking, like shift your thoughts to be congruent in your body. Now, the work that you'll do with Jana, she's going to probably talk to you about something called the inner bonding process. I'm not going to share that with you. I'm going to let her do it. She'll walk you through doing it, and it's going to change your life because it will begin to support you in embodying. Again, I continue to use that word a lot. Embodying just simply means that you are demonstrating what it is that you know, feel, believe, and express it through your actions. That way, every decision you make is a declaration of what you know that you deserve, and you're doing it consciously and mindfully, at least as much as possible. Way more than at the effect of your thoughts from the outside in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is really, it's about tempering and managing, like I've told you before, right? So it's really, really powerful when you begin to realize that you have a lot more control than you think. And it's not control over people, it's control over your own destiny. And the fact is because of your belief and stories around your circumstances, you don't feel that you're in control of your destiny, and it's depressing.
Really is.
Yeah. Listen, I've gone through it, and I'll probably go through it again. It's very possible that it'll happen, but you know when it does, I'm wiser because I know I'm going to be like, ooh, I'm in the void. That's what we call it. The void, right? Which is, remember you talked about, I'm not as comfortable going into uncertainty as I was at one point.
Yeah.
You're grasping, trying to hold on to something. And usually it's like kind of here in Laguna Beach. You've seen all the pictures. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Those fucking shoreline waves are brutal though. They will fuck you up, right? These shorelines. And so what happens is these shore breaks, it means they're waves and they crash right onto the, you know, onto the shore. And people that go out into that stuff, like these wakeboarders and people, you know, they realize like you can't fight that. You got to flow with it.
Yeah.
There's no way. If you try to fight it, it will exhaust you. It will pull you under and you will die. Right. Yeah. But if you realize that the ocean, like the way that it moves, like you just got to let go and let it take you in a lot of ways. You can go with the current. You can go with it when it comes back in. And it's a lot easier because you're more in flow. So it's the same thing what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I'm not good with water, by the way. So
up till this point, you have not been.
I'm not, yeah, I haven't been up to this point. That's correct.
Yeah.
And I just was looking at, when I was looking at Thailand for a little bit, which is correct, yeah, about this little thing that you showed me earlier. I don't, yeah, plan to a great degree, but I want to know a couple of things, everything. Yeah. I just need to know where I'm sleeping at night and is it safe and whatever. A few things.
Right. Just a few important things. What's
important things.
Where am I staying and what's around it where I am staying?
Basically. Yeah. And so I was looking at how far Phuket is from Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
And get there and whatever, just root for it. But they have like diving for people who are non-swimmers as well.
Okay.
So you get a pool session and then they take you into the open water.
Got it.
And one of the things I definitely want to try in my life once at least is to have the courage to go into that water. Because I had, yeah, because I, when I was growing up, my dad tried to teach me how to swim in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's not a very good teacher.
Yeah.
100%. He tried to teach me math and I got turned off by it. I got turned off by everything. I think my dad has probably tried to teach me.
Right.
But as I've aged, as he's aged and as I've gotten older and had my own share of experiences, I'm probably more open.
Sure.
But I think it probably started there in the way he taught me, because he like literally just took us in and he's like fight or flight, you know, type mm-hmm. of thing. Like, or swim, literally in this case.
Yep.
But whatever. So I think there's that somewhere still in my subconscious. And I just feel like, again, the issue with the water part is there's no foundation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So it causes me more anxiety than peace. I'm a mountain girl. I can be in the mountains for thousands of years. If you let me just stay there, I'll stay there.
Sure.
When it's the water, I can walk along it and everything. But if I stare on water too much, I get nightmares, which is weird. I know. So I've had that happen.
Not really? Well, it's not really weird. So I was born from a rape. I was conceived from a rape. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know my father. It's my mom. That's how I was, you know, she was 16 apparently, and she was on a date and got raped by the guy. And,
oh, wow.
And then when she was pregnant with me for like at 6 months, she was raped again. And apparently, so I went through, this is how I found out about it, by the way. So Scientology, you're familiar with Scientology. So I lived in Clearwater for like 8 years, which is like, Clearwater to Scientology is like what the Vatican is to Catholics.
Oh, right? Yeah. I've seen the whole documentary on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So two of my marketing buddies.
Most of those kids are like Tom Cruise's sperm.
Maybe, who knows, you know. But what I do know is two of my buddies are marketers and they, long story short, I did their business tech, which was really helpful. It's like personal development on steroids, a lot of helpful stuff, but then they use that as a bridge to try and get you into the woo-woo shit, you know, into the religion, which is Scientology. Mm-hmm. Dianetics is the real, human technology. It's really good. And then Scientology is then the religion side. But they do this thing called auditing, where basically it helps to clear emotional stuff up. And it really fucking works too, by the way. But what happened was one day what they do is they have you sit down in front of an auditor and you just start, you know, they put you into the kind of like this REM space and you just say whatever comes up. And what comes up for me is choke on it, bitch. Choke on it, bitch. Choke on it.
You remember those words while being in the room, yeah? Yeah.
And for all my life, I was terrified of water. Imagine why. Right? Like, you know, apparently it was two men and the one was like forcing her to give him head and the other one was having sex with her. And of course, here I am in the womb, in the water, the embryonic, right? Fluid.
Yeah,
so of course, all my life, I'm terrified of water. I get over bridges. I'm terrified, or was, you know? And so when I was in, last year, when I was in Tulum with Katarina on that spiritual retreat and we were in the cenotes, which is this beautiful underwater cavern, I'm in the water and I'm terrified. So I figured, and then it came to me like in a vision, I realized what it was. I was like, oh my God, from that experience that I relived through the Scientology. And that's what, and because after that situation, after the Scientology situation where they were like, you know, they past life regressed me into that. And I went into it.
Yeah.
I called my mom like 5 days later. We're not super close, but close enough that I could ask her. I called her up. I said, Mama, can I ask you something? I said, were you sexually assaulted when you were pregnant with me? And phone went silent for like 30 seconds, which felt like 3 minutes. And she was like, baby, how would you know that? I've never told anybody.
Oh my God.
Drop the phone, you know, it's kind of like, oh my God. You know, my point being is that, you know, there are certain things that we can be programmed with.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things that we can be born with in our DNA. Yeah. Come to find out, because during this never happened until, and this is all very private, obviously, but I'm going to be talking about this publicly at some point. When I went through the cheating on my wife, like face fucking a woman was like my thing. I got off on it. Yeah. I'd never done that before. Like the power, you know, the whole thing. Well, fucking no wonder. Right. Yeah. Look what happened. Yeah. While, you know, like the dude was forcing her to do that.
Yeah.
Right. And then come to find out, it's not just that, it's ancestral. I then found out about last year, I found out that my mom's dad, who's an alcoholic, sexually assaulted several of the girls in the family. So
what's the lineage though? Like what is it? Scottish Irish or what is
German. German is my mom's side. I don't know what my dad's side is.
Okay.
So, but my point I'm telling you all of this is that, you know,
yeah,
there are a lot of pieces that I could look back and I could go, oh, well, that's not my fault. I could be outside in thinking, my God, I was born from a rape. It's not my fault. Like this is the blah, 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 blah. You know, yeah. I mean, but now because I've taken so much responsibility and I'm now more informed than I'm affected, I can go into certain circumstances and situations much more empowered, knowing, especially when I go into the void of something. And just because we're mindful and just because we're aware of some things and just because we've done some things doesn't necessarily mean that when we go into the void that we got it all fucking figured out. We don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And matter of
I'm
fact,
I'm in my void. I really feel like I'm
you,
in my void.
Of course you are. And so this, and the reason I talk about the whole water and the fluid thing is because I was the same way. Like, getting in the water and not knowing what's underneath there and it's going to get me.
Right? Yes.
You know?
Yes, that's mine.
I get it. No, I see it, you know, but I don't believe that as much anymore now. Right. I mean, I'm going to be smart, but at the same time, now I want to do, get into the water and now I want to do wakeboarding and scuba diving and all these sort of things because I no longer.
That's what I looked up. That's exactly right? What I looked up. Yeah. I
exactly.
Did.
So, you know, you kind of look at this, whereas, you know what? You're right now, you're in your void where you can't feel what's underneath there. You don't have anything solid, but this is where the magnificence is. This is where the brilliance is. And this is where Jim Rohn said, turn your frustration into fascination. Don't wish things were better. Don't wish things were easier. Wish you were better. And that's when we're in our void. We so sometimes just be like, God, give me a fucking break, would you please? Would you make things easier for me right now? No. The struggle is where you gain the strength. So.
Yes, sir. This is lovely. So much juice here today for me, Tony. Like so much.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do something which I'd always wanted to do before, you know, as mm-hmm. part of this work and whatever. Mm-hmm. I did definitely want to cut down my sugar. I don't consume that much, mm-hmm. but I have it with my morning. I have my morning tea, which is a little bit of dairy and that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and find more. I want to start taking that maybe out of my diet because I'm really dependent on my tea.
Yeah.
I cannot function without that hit sometimes.
Yeah, no, I get that. And maybe you're careful about that as about how quickly you do it, but like wean yourself down. Like coffee for me, it's always been my thing. And like right now what I'm doing is I'm weaning myself down to it. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to shift back over to mushroom coffee.
Okay.
So, you know, which is way better.
Healthier.
Healthier. It's not a diuretic, you know, and all those sort of things. But it still gives you a bit of like a mood elevation, which is – I just like my warm cup, I say, in the morning. But the truth is I like that fucking hit. It's like snorting a line.
Yeah. You kind of just need that to move. Yeah. And then I'm going to start looking into what I can do from an exercise perspective because I do like working out. I'm not like people who don't.
Good.
I've run half marathons. I was probably the slowest person on the planet, but I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I've done yoga challenges like 60 days, 80 day. I think I did a 90 day. I can't remember. I did like some crazy. I did Bikram yoga that too.
Yeah.
I was doing so good. But if I had done this inner work then, I would have left New York much earlier.
Sure.
I think I was still looking for help then, but I didn't quite know. I was still in my corporate thing, so whatever.
Yeah.
So I'll start thinking through that, like what is that, or at least start picturizing like where I need to be. Because like for me, like if I feel healthy, And this, I'm not going to tell you something. Yeah, I just want to feel like I don't want, like, I don't want to have a belly. Like, I have a belly now. Like, it's horrible.
I get it.
I don't want that. I want to work out. So I'll try to see if there's a way to do this where I can go out like 2 or 3 times a week and do Pilates like maybe 2 times a week or something to just get started. Something.
Honor your, because what you're doing when you do that is you're honoring yourself.
Yeah.
And the stories aren't bigger than the honoring of yourself. Oh, it's polluted outside today. Or, oh, it's like, okay, yeah.
Noisy and stuff.
Yeah, none of that matters.
The place that I would eventually want to move to as well, like I'd rent out a flat which has all the amenities in the building.
Yeah.
And I've already seen the property for it. And if I wanted to go right now, I would do it. But I don't know that this is the right time to just like make that leap. It wouldn't, it wouldn't sustain me or keep make me happy. And I told my dad, like, Papa, I'm going to, let me help you with this house because Jiggy won't, my brother won't.
Right.
He's not like, he's got no attachment to the house. I've actually stayed in this house for a while. Like I'm probably the longest standing member in this family who has stayed in this house actually. Even for the time that I was in India. So I want to help dad with it for sure. I'll do this. So, and the water I'm drinking is in a copper vessel in the morning. And I have 2 big glasses of that at room temperature. I'll go back into putting my a lemon and warm water type of thing. And I also got some aloe vera juice because I think my body's like internally heating up quite a bit. So I'll have some of that aloe vera to at least get me started. And then I'll go a little more extreme, I guess, and maybe somewhere here I'll have to see if I can stay in another country for a month to balance some of this out. How much water should I drink in a day?
I want to give it to you because here's the thing. I'm mindful of so much change so dramatically.
Yes, I understand. So I'll do it slowly. I'll taper it. I'm not going to do everything all at once because next week I have to go out anyway. So what do you think I need to do for next week? Because there's a part of me which is like resistant mode, like, why do I have to go for this visa interview? And there's another part of me which is like, I really just want to go play with my niece and I want to be home. I want to be with my brother and I want to order some like Papa John's and just chill out on the couch.
So what's your question?
My question is like, just let me know what you think in terms of the state I need to be in, like, because we'll, and the guy, like the guy I have to go back with a option and offer to continue, because I think Monday is his last call.
Yeah, so let's pause here because we're now like where I wanted to go with this is just making sure that the water piece of it. There's actually
50 places.
Yeah, I know. So I'm trying to calm you down there. What's the calculator? Here we go. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, okay. This is what we were saying, the body weight and
Yeah. So for an example, you can just see here how to calculate, you know, wherever you're at here.
Yeah.
You know, you can see about how many ounces of water you want to drink. But if that's the main thing that you did, because hydration, you'll notice like brain fog will go away, anxiety, like a whole lot of things will shift there. So
do you want me to put something in it? No, right?
It's just up to you. I mean, I like to do lemon or lime, you know, I like to do things like that. And if I want to,
mint? I have fresh mint.
I do mint, I do spearmint. Yeah, if you make it fun, you know, make it good for you. Yeah. So you can do that for sure. So 2 things I wanted to talk about. And you started to go into one of them. So there's this piece here.
Yes.
So something I did years back when my life was a shit show coming out when I was working with Jana. I did what you just did, which I wrote down everything I hated about my life.
Okay.
Except I wrote it, not just typed it. Okay. There's something about paper to pen.
Agreed.
Getting something out of your head, putting it onto paper makes it more of reality. So what I want to see that you do is that you take these in as much detail as you went into doing what you don't know or what you don't like or what you hate or whatever, do the exact opposite into what you want it to look like.
Oh, what I want it to look like.
What's the exact opposite? Like, I don't know how to sell. I know how to sell, right?
Okay.
You know, like, I don't think anyone wants to buy from me. I make offers to peep to the ideal person who loves buying from me, right? I never get price objections, right? So you're saying I always get price objections, right? So what I want you to do, this is how this helps. So I sat one time, when I looked at my life, there were 10 areas about my life that I absolutely hated. Which means I was putting a lot of mental energy into that focus. And so even though I said I didn't want it, that's all I was focusing on. I wasn't focusing on a more noble aim. I wasn't focusing on what that might look differently like, right? Yeah. So when I did, the brain is naturally wired to do what you just did.
Yeah.
Right? It's naturally wired to look out for, you know, for things that we don't like. So then what you do is on the opposite side of the paper, what I did was I wrote the exact opposite. And a year later, all 10 of those things completely shifted. Some of them didn't take a year, right? Yeah. So like at the time I was in a relationship with a woman who was married, you know, that of course never ended up leaving the husband, but I was with her for 2 years, you know, and I just was like hating it, you know? So what did I do? I shifted that, right? What did I want my life to look like in that arena or that area? So what I would love to see you do, and it's going to be very, very powerful, because I want to give you a couple of things to walk away with to do. Okay. Is this, like, reverse engineer these, right? This is different than here where you say where I want to be by before the end of the year. You put a lot of energy into this stuff, right? You put a lot of emotional energy into these when you write them down, right?
Yeah. Yes.
How much emotional energy was here when you wrote these down? Like when I look at things like stabilize my health, it's very up here. I want to stabilize my health. Like how many? I know I'm giving you shit right now. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just giving you some shit right now to give you context, right? You know, start traveling again to Asia, Japan, Singapore. Like, you know, put the energy into this, you know, that you put into this stuff here, right? But what I'd rather see you do is take these and reverse engineer them into what you do want it to be and write about them like they're in the present moment.
Okay.
We got to start turning your mind around, you know, because if we try to do that without any of this work, it's like trying to turn a bus around in a phone booth. It's really fucking hard to do.
What? Turn a bus around in a phone booth? I fucking love that analogy. I've never heard it before.
Yeah. And it's true. But what we're doing.
Is that what you created?
Yeah, I came up with it.
Is that yours? It's fucking awesome.
I would say, I mean, I came up with it, but, you know, some people could say it's like turning a freighter around in a bathtub, but that didn't sound as good. The bus in the phone booth sounds better.
That's better.
The boat in a bathtub. So, you know, the thing is that taking the energy to do that will begin to start to have you rewire your brain so it starts thinking, you know, so that you start to create new neural networks. You've been thinking, there's science behind all of this, you know that. You've been thinking the way you've been thinking and seeing the pictures you've been seeing, you know, for so long now that it's, you know, now you've got somebody that can support you in moving differently, thinking differently, seeing different pictures, and starting to create something new. So the minute that you invested in yourself and you put yourself on the line like you did, you said something that I want a different life. I want to see things differently. I want to feel differently. I want to think differently, right? Mm-hmm. So all of this begins now. And so what you do is, you know, taking this and reverse engineering it, and don't type it, but write it. Like write this stuff out like on maybe one side of a piece of paper or something, and then do the opposite on the other. It might be a little difficult to do it that way, but you know what I mean, right?
Yes.
Like, but reverse it, reverse engineer it. And then you can start to say, okay, does that feel like bullshit? It might, and that's okay. Yep. But it's starting something differently. Okay. So, and when it comes to, you know, I'm petrified of giving, you know,
highlighted that out of everything you highlighted that.
Well, because it's very indicative of, you know, what's stopping you slowing down or staying in your way. You're constipated. You're emotionally constipated. You know, it's all that it simply is. And we don't have to give it a whole lot of meaning. You go, oh, that's interesting. Okay. We don't have to get into a story about it. That's one of the biggest things that I'm going to support you with. You've got a lot of beliefs that are behind this stuff. Jana's mm-hmm. going to probably start to, you know, get into some of that in your call with her. And it will give you insight as to how you can begin even breaking more of the patterns. Because my work, I could spend 6 to 8 weeks just doing deep personal work with you. And we'll continue to do that underlying. But the first week or two is to start to unearth and unmove, jar. Some of this is what's been there. But then so that we can begin to move forward in some of the marketing work and some of that other stuff. Because the thing is, you know, this here, we want this to shift.
Yeah.
Right? Because an expert thinks that their information is important and it's really not. I could give away all the stuff I give. And that's not where the value is, because you can Google damn near anything, right? The problem is most of our clients don't know what questions to ask, right? So we can come in and we can actually begin to shift this. So, you know, giving content away and having zero sales inquiries, like that's an expert. So when we start to, like next week, when I'll start to share with you like my philosophies around marketing and sales and what that means, you'll mm-hmm. realize how this thinking was just getting in your way, right? You were assigning meaning to something, you know, and there's a little bit of an entitlement here. Oh, because I share something, I should get something back. And that's not true. You know, fair exchange of value. People don't give you money just because they like you. They give it to you because they think that you're going to help them either get something, keep something, or get rid of something. It's real simple. People give you money for an offer of perceived value, which means that they think that you're going to help them get something, keep something, or get rid of something. People want to get a wife, keep a wife, or get rid of wife. That's one way of looking at it.
That's amazing. I like this quite a bit.
We're going to simplify the whole marketing piece of it and so that when you start to make offers, we're going to do it in a way where it kind of incubates you and where you're not going to be like, oh, nobody wants it. You know, like it's not going to be like that at all. I mean, I don't know if you saw the post I did yesterday where one of my clients, I mean, she's going through the same shit you're going through.
Yeah. The little
snippet. Yeah. I got another one I'm going to post today. So, okay. So these are the two things. I want you to reverse engineer this. And then what I want you to do is we're going to do an email invitation with Jan. I'm going to do an email connection with the two of you. And then you two are going to schedule a call. Hopefully, maybe we can get it done before the end of the week. If not, maybe early next week. But yeah, it depends on what her schedule is too. But
yeah, totally. Is she West Coast as well?
She's New Mexico. So she's
Austin.
Well,
so she's an hour.
Yeah, she's an hour ahead of me. She's an hour ahead of me, yeah. So, she'll work that out. I'll let her know that, you know, basically it's like 7:30 my time. So it'd be 8:30 in the morning her time, which I think she'd be fine with.
Yeah. So could you please tell her I'm really grateful for her offering, and it's obviously because of you and you guys know each other. And I'll definitely Jana Fleming, right? Is it with
Jana, Jana Fleming, yeah. And you can go to her website and just kind of check her out a little bit if it's emotional healing system. Okay. Let me see here. Let me make sure I give you the right one because she's got two.
Because I wrote Jenna. So is it G?
Yeah, and then it forwards to her her regular site, which is emotionalhealingretreat.com.
And when does she have these? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, well, I mean, she schedules them. These are just one-on-ones. She doesn't do group stuff right now. So these are all by appointment and, you know, she figures it out with you. So, but I know she's, you know, they're somewhere between anywhere from, you know, $8,000 to $15,000 is what she does.
Okay. Good to know.
That's, I'm just giving you that, like, yeah, later on down the road, maybe you want to work with her and I'm totally cool with that. And, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see everything about her here and all her stuff. So it's really helpful. But yeah, I'll do the introduction with you two, and then I'm going to send you this as well in email so that you can review it. Kind of do as you like. You can do a little more research around, you know, 1-3 profile. And then, of course, do the water thing this week. Right? And so that's all I'm really wanting to have you dive into, because that's plenty for the moment. Yeah.
Yes.
Are those few things. And then what we'll do is an email or just, you know, message me on Facebook when you get the confirmation with Jana when you're going to do the call.
I will let you know. Yes.
Yeah. Because then what she's going to do is once that's done, then she'll send me the recording and I can go, I can listen to it.
You want to look at it and then.
I'm going to listen to it. Yeah. And then that way I'll have a better, we'll all be even that much, much more closer, you know, in dialing in things, because when I go into the marketing piece of it, you know, kind of similar to what we just did here, I'm going to illuminate some things for you, right? Mm-hmm. None of this is about shaming or saying you've done bad stuff. You know, all that. It's not, it's to me, it's about illuminating a new way of thinking, feeling and behaving. That's all it is. And so be gentle with yourself in this process.
Do you know me well enough by now?
I do, which is why I'm saying it.
That's why you said it. Like, yeah. Okay, great. So tell me what you think about next week and then about this guy. Or should I just
send you? Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about next. So tell me, because when I hear that you're undercharging.
Oh, yeah.
So
I never ever thought of working in India and having Indian clients. This one guy I met through BNI, he's in my chapter, really forward thinker and whatnot.
Okay.
And he literally was like, I just tell me what you know, at that, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So he just tell me how much, whatever. And at that time I was just doing a pilot for like 60K for 90 days.
Okay.
So 60,000 rupees, which is, you will hate me, yell at me. And it's fine.
It's all right. I'm not going to. That's what you do to you. I won't do that.
So nice. It's about 800.
800 bucks. For how long?
For 90 days.
Okay.
I know. And I was giving him the full suite offering, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was also for me. I actually did it more for me than him. But then I got frustrated through that process. Just exactly like how you said earlier. Exactly how you said.
Yep.
So he gets like a 4-hour discovery session with me. And then weekly catch-ups, touch base, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But where I let go of the boundary a little bit because, you know, so he's close to the family now and his family is close to mine and everything, which is fine. With my dad, I got him into it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would, so it became casual. Like he would just call and give me updates when he could and stuff instead of voice noting.
Okay.
Which I put like an X to last week already, which I was like, hey, voice note this over, or hey, check this out. When I heard him say on one of my catch-up calls, oh, but can you'll reach out on that. I was like, no, actually, you write it out.
Yep.
I'll look at it. So I don't mind taking on some of that, but I need to be really, really well compensated for my expertise and me doing all this work for you. It's fine. So I don't
really
quite know.
Do you really want to do it, though? Do you really want to do it?
Some part of it, sure. I wouldn't want to get into a place where I'm doing the constant outreach and things like that.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work for me.
Okay.
So, but I could open up my contact sphere because it's kind of wide and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know how to cold call on LinkedIn if I needed to get someone access to someone as well.
Yeah.
That I think is a good fit. And I've already done it for him.
Okay.
And it's with somebody like freaking important in India.
Mm.
And that woman already knows of me. So I will go for this I'm okay with to some extent.
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you this. So with him, it was $800 for 3 months.
Yeah.
So.
It's like 20,000 rupees a month, which is nothing for me. Like I can't even pay for my Thailand tickets with that amount.
Okay. So I'm trying to give some. So what creates value is context, right? How much better off is his life, his business, etc.?
1,000%.
Okay. How do you know that? And how does he know that?
He's communicated it. He's moving on all the work I gave him to do. He's going to turn around easily. It's Tony. He'll be my first Indian millionaire.
Okay.
Like by the end of November, I want to say he's going to start getting all his contracts coming in.
Okay. So here's the thing, when you go to reposition this, because he may look at it as, well, hey, I've already got everything now. I've got contracts coming in and I don't need you, right?
Yeah.
He could say that, but he's already asked that he wants to continue to work with you, right?
Yeah. He did mention it. I said, we'll talk about it next week. And and I said, like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm there to support you. And he's like, you better not. I'll find a way to, you know?
Yeah. So here's a great question I like to ask in these kind of situations, because right now, just based on time, I don't know what what problems you, I don't know what symptoms you have solved for him that he no longer is experiencing. These are things you want to consider, but an easy question is, hey, listen, for us to continue to work together, you know, this is past 90 days, as you know, I've worked with you at a, you know, severely discounted dollar amount,
yeah,
or rupee amount, right? Yeah. So my question is, moving forward, what's a dollar amount that you could do per month that we both could feel good about? And see where he goes. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to learn a couple of things about him. So when you ask a question like that, it forces an individual. I'll just give you an example. So one of my clients that I brought on board for my high ticket breakthrough, which you're going to get access to. It's my $10,000 program, but
wait, what?
Yeah, it's my 10 grand program, but it's 10 grand because I work so closely with people in it and I only take on so many people. Right. But, okay. You know, but my point being is when we did it, you know, the sale with her, she said she wasn't quite ready. And I was like, oh, that's perfectly fine. You know, I've only got one spot for this next month. So, you know, if you want to grab it, that's cool. Here's what you could do. Deposit. She said, great. You know, well, how much do I need to do? I said, well, what's a dollar amount that you could do that we think we both could feel good about? And I was expecting in my head, this even shows my own shit, but this is why I do questions like this, so it keeps me from getting involved. I said, well, you know, in my mind, I was thinking she'd do like $250, right? But I asked her, what's a dollar amount that you could do that you think that we both could feel good about? She mm-hmm. wrote a check for $1,000. See, they don't want to disappoint you. And what will always happen is that they, especially with him, if he knows that he's gotten a severe fucking steal, he's going to feel a little guilty about it.
Yeah.
And he's going to try and meet you at the level where he thinks your value actually is.
Yeah. I've already mentioned to him once before that typically a month with me would be a six-figure amount, like one lakh rupees.
Good.
I've already already planted that seed a while ago. And then the thing that I got really... This is the thing, you know, Tony, this is where I have to elevate, like, every decision I make is a declaration of what I feel I deserve.
Yep.
We were having a conversation about something, and in the end he said, like, look at Neelam. Like, he was talking about me in third person. That person wasn't there, but he was kind of replaying something he said to someone. He's like, I got Neelam for a steal. Like, 60,000 is nothing for her, and this and that. And I was like, fuck yeah. Mm. It's nothing. You should be paying me that per session.
Yeah. And right. Listen. Yeah. And so that's where you can go in the negotiation. When you ask him, say, listen, you know, clearly, you know, I've worked with you at a ridiculously, amount. And, so moving forward, knowing what you have in the pipeline and knowing the problems, the high class headaches, I call them, that he's going to have when all those contracts come in and all that stuff, there's going to be higher class headaches that he's going to have to deal with that, you know, that you can help him solve. Right. Mm-hmm. So I position it as, you know, knowing that, over the last 3 months, you know, we worked together at a ridiculously minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Moving forward now, what's a dollar amount that you're willing to do that you think that we both could feel good about? And you might be surprised at the number that he comes at. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then if he doesn't, you don't react.
Yeah.
Right? You become informed. And this is where it's important, like where the marketing stuff comes into play, where I'll teach you, it's like symptoms versus problems, right? So if he comes back with a number that you're not comfortable with and you think is severely, you know, low, you could say, well, that's great. Appreciate that. It doesn't work for me, right? Here's what I believe is fair. What would you like to do? Real simple.
Okay. Right? That's it.
Very simple. You know, here's what I feel. And then you have to have at least a number in your mind that you feel that you are willing to invest that kind of time in.
Yeah.
Right. So, and again, the very important piece of it is like, say it's 100,000 rupees a month or whatever it is. Right. And he comes in at 60,000. Well, you have a decision to make. You can say, well, that's not too bad. Or you could say, well, that I appreciate that. What my thoughts were based on outcomes, costs, and everything else. here's the number that I'm looking at.
Okay.
What would you like to do? That's my favorite line, is throw it back on them. What would you like to do?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because here's
listening to this part again.
Yeah, exactly. Because here's what's going to happen is, if you don't like the number and he's not willing to invest at that number, then guess what? You set your boundaries. Don't be mad if he walks away. And chances are he won't, right?
Yeah.
But don't be, I know it looks like he blew a Smurf or something. See the blue?
Right. I know, right?
It's all good. So, for you, you've got to be willing to take a stand. And if he's not willing, then, you got to say, okay, well, I'm going to move on.
I know. I'm fine with it. I think I'm going to push the boundary on this one. And that comes to about $1,300 a month.
Yeah.
That 1 lakh. Mm-hmm. For me to maintain this quality, the standard of living that I want to have here in India, I want to be able to rent out a place which is at least 20 to 30,000 rupees a month.
Okay.
In a gated community and whatnot. And the remaining, just 1 lakh would be me spending on myself with travel here in the country, getting up and doing whatever the fuck I want. 1 lakh is good enough. The remaining 4 is for me to start investing and saving so that I can buy property here.
Right.
I do want to buy property here because the market is hot.
Right.
And someone who's not investing in India is making a big mistake right now.
Sure.
So
then also keeping that in mind, the goal is with you and I, as we start to step into leveraging your Facebook stuff and making sales there, you and I, we want to figure on, because I've still got another 7,500 and that's going to be predetermined, and I'm looking, I want to get that happening in 60 days, like maybe even sooner. Like in the back of my mind, I'd love to see that happen in 45 days, but I'm just putting it out there, 45 to 60 days, what's that dollar amount that we want to hit so that you see where I'm going with this?
Yes.
What's that number?
I have that number. It has to be somewhere between 15 and 20 and I can do it.
Yeah. So you want to do, so you want to do somewhere between 15 and 20,000 US dollars.
So hold on. Let me just tell you how I'm thinking about it. Because the way I want to think about it is more higher. Because like if you look at my monthly number that I'm shooting for, it's I think between 45 to 50, if I'm not mistaken, or 35 to 45, something like that. I don't have it. But I want that number because where I want to be is I want to be in a consistent pattern with you. Mm-hmm. So my goal would be we hit this shit so that I can just then call you up and say like, what do you need for, like, what do I need to do to keep us going?
Right.
What's next? Like I'm already in that space mentally, like you can tell, because I know I can, with the right support, I know this number, like the 50K is not unachievable. Mm-hmm. Like I even saw one of your posts where you say it, like typically, like if someone, it was like the quiet launch.
the quiet little launch process. Well, that's what we're going to be implementing partially. So, for me, so if we're going at say, so what I hear you saying is you want to hit 50,000. In order for me to get the 7,500. Is that what you just said?
Does that sound wrong?
I'm going to say, for me, I'm thinking someplace between say 30,000-35,000 is what I'm thinking. Because listen, when's the last time you've done that from your Facebook?
Never.
Exactly. Right. So I'm pretty good at what I do, but I'm not a miracle worker either. And there's going to be some iterations and some other things happening. So, but out of say 30,000-35,000, somewhere in that range, and then me pulling 7,500 out of that. I mean, that's still getting a pretty large sum of money, based on it. You doubled your money is what you did. Now, obviously, I'd love to do more, and I'm not saying that's impossible, but right now there's a lot for us to shift and to move.
Yeah.
Because here's what's going to happen over, 45 to 60 days, as we get a lot of this shifting and moving and going, a lot of that now creates what's called the higher class headache of like, okay, what do we do for systems to have this continue to get going, right? That's the next level. Like what I do with my high ticket breakthrough, which is somewhat similar to what we'll do, the first 60 days, they don't even have a program. They got nothing.
Okay.
They just have an expertise, a specialty, a transformation that they're able to provide. And what we do is we take their program. We don't even create it first. We pre-sell it. Right.
Yeah.
I do it with more moving parts, which I'm not going to necessarily do with you. So, in my perspective, I mean, I'd love to see you do, you know, that 50,000. In back of my mind, that's what I'm really shooting for, to over deliver. But at the same time, I, you know, we're going to figure out what your audience is like. I know they're highly engaged, you know, but there's going to be a lot of work to do.
Yeah. I feel like no one's buying, so I'm like, wait, who wants anything?
Well, that's there? Again, that, yeah, that's not the right way we want to look at it. But yeah, they're not purchasing right now because we're not making offers of perceived value. That's all it is.
And we also have 35,000 on the public page that I've started engaging
with. Leverage. Yeah, we'll leverage that too. We'll talk about
that. That's there. And that's something that's more mass. So if we're doing something at like $100 or $200 and can get 50 people to sign up.
Which I probably won't do. But yeah, you could. Yeah.
Well, whatever. You tell me what to do. It's fine. But yeah, we have some stuff going on there. And I've just started engaging with that audience right now. Totally. Instagram is another one. Instagram, the people on Instagram love, reach out and whatever. So
yeah, perfect. Okay.
And LinkedIn.
Send me that in email too.
LinkedIn. I'll send you all my links of my social media.
Send me all that stuff. Yeah. I think I've already stocked some of that stuff, but I just want to have it in one space.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Thank you so much, Tony. And
you're welcome. Covered a lot of ground here. Just breathe. Take a moment for yourself. Acknowledge yourself for what you've stepped into and what you've done today, especially. You've done phenomenal. And pop me over the stuff we've talked about via in email. I'll do the email introduction with you and Jana. I've got to jump on a call here in 3 minutes now, but I'll do that here as soon as I'm done.
And I will send you something over the weekend. Mm-hmm. For the guys' conversation, what that number I think should be. I still think it should be a lakh.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to send that to you. Just think through it better and where I would settle.
Okay. I like it. Do that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're awesome. Appreciate
you. So are you.
All right. Go kiss more Smurfs or whatever it is.
Picture and post it online.
Exactly. Awesome. All right, honey. I'll see you soon. We'll talk.
Bye.
And then we'll figure out what day next week, but I want to have you talk to Jana first, if at all possible. But if she can't do it until like late next week, we're going to get on another call early this coming week. So I'm going to try and get in 2 sessions, okay?
Done.
Awesome. All right, honey. Bye.
Bye.